You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It is Monday, the 12th of October. Today is Thanksgiving Day, the day when we give thanks to the farmers for putting food on the field, the migrant workers for picking up, the distribution companies for getting it to our table and stores, and all the frontline workers at the grocery stores who are braving the COVID pandemic to sell us the food. My name is Bob Jonkman. We'll be talking to Chrissy Newton from the Alt Pop Repeat podcast later today. But first, let's listen to Tamako, While I Fall.
Silver spoon in their mouth, where others bite and scratch to make ends meet. The lives are filled with fear and doubt, where some say that life just a game, you gotta play the cards that you're dealt. Well, sometimes you rub a flush with cash, and other times you gotta tighten your belt. You never know what tomorrow
Elliott and the Audio Kings, What Tomorrow Brings. They're from KW, but that's all I know about them because our program coordinator, Jeff Stager, put that into the digital library and labeled it KWCon, so that's a good thing. Before that, we heard While I Fall from Tamako. We're going to be talking to Denny from Tamako in a few weeks, and we'll be talking about things not just music. He and I have some aligned interests, and I'm sure we'll use the whole hour at CKMS Community Connections to talk about those things as well. On the phone, I have Chrissy Newton from the podcast Alt Pop Repeat. Good morning, Chrissy.
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Bob. I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, too. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. It's a great Monday.
It is a great Monday. Yeah. You're from the KW area, too.
I am, yeah. I've lived in, I grew up in Kitchener-Waterloo, just outside of it, but I've always been in the region.
Uh-huh.
But I currently live in Toronto right now. But I'm actually in Kitchener right now.
Oh, okay, family, just down the corner. You could have come into the studio, darn it.
I would have, but then I have to go to my sister's in a little bit, too. So we all luckily don't have COVID. And
oh, good.
And not have COVID, so we actually can spend a little bit of time together, which is really nice.
Very good. Take it easy out there. You know, be careful. Everybody out there, you know, keep your distance. Stay home if you can. And, you know, just be safe out there.
Exactly. Yeah. What about yourself? You're in the studio.
I'm in the studio. The studio is open for one guest at a time. We've set up a second studio across the glass partition. So that's our Studio B. And when we can have one guest in, they're, you know, well away from us, 2-3 meters from the control panel. So pretty safe in here.
That's awesome. Yeah. Makes sense, too. You know, it's nice when you're in studio. It's a totally different feel than when it's on the phone.
It is.
At least we get to do both, right? That's the best part of it.
During when the studio was closed, I did some pre-recorded shows, you know, collect some music from people that send it to us at office at radiowaterloo.ca. There's a little plug for all you artists out there who want to submit some music. And it's not the same. You know, you're putting together a playlist and you're putting the music together, but it doesn't feel like radio anymore. It feels like you're just sitting in your home studio listening to tunes. So
yeah, and it makes sense. Like, even when we're doing interviews, too, we do a lot on Zoom right now because of COVID. And also, like, we can't be in different places around the world interviewing people. So there is a different feel when you're in person, and it's a totally different way of having a conversation. But I'm just really thankful that we still get to do our show. So.
Yeah.
Which is really great, yeah.
Yeah. And your show. What is your show? Tell me about your show.
Yeah, for sure. Our show is Alt Pop Repeat. So it's a podcast.
Uh-huh.
We talk about how countercultures and subcultures, we use a word called sync, but another word is how they connect and turn into pop culture. Everything's really driven from counterculture. A lot of things are. And so we don't really talk about that, you know, on our day-to-day of how it became pop culture. So Marie and I, my co-host and I, dive deep into those kind of conversations. And they can run from cannabis, LGBT plus community, along with tons of different things, the Me Too movement. So we're really lucky that we found this kind of niche now that talks about how the becomes pop culture.
Yeah. So you said counterculture.
Yeah.
So what is that?
Yeah, good question. So counterculture is something that a group of people or, you know, it could be a group of people or individuals, too, that believe in something that's outside of the average norm or in the mainstream. So punk is another great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Punk culture, you know, and there's punk music, but really it's a culture and an ideology that started, you know, from a movement of people that didn't like what was happening in the mainstream, so they were kind of rebelling against it. So you get things like anarchists that come out of it and multiple different things.
Mm-hmm.
But punk's a great idea of it. Same with cannabis. Like, cannabis is the same thing. Cannabis came from a counterculture movement where, you know, people were believing in a specific type of lifestyle or culture, and now cannabis is legal in Canada. So, and it's becoming a little bit more accepted by people in the mainstream as we grow, and they're seeing that, you know, there are positive sides, and we're learning that through science and medical things, that there are positive outcomes from cannabis as well, too, when we're using CBD and stuff like that. So that's what counterculture is.
So really, things like cannabis and punk rock are no longer counterculture. They've been accepted into the mainstream. You know, we've got a whole bunch of punk rock that we're playing on our radio station. I suppose our radio station, CKMS, is counterculture because by its very nature, it's trying to do things that mainstream radio is not.
Yeah, totally. And also, if you're playing local artists and you're breaking local artists, hip-hop is another one of those that started as a counterculture. So there's a lot of times that radio stations like your own and people hosting, you know, shows that you have, Bob, that are really showing new light to new artists that could be creating new sounds or, you know, different movements and shedding light on it. So, yeah, it's really, it's a cool concept that not everybody kind of understands, because nobody really talks about counterculture or the term of it on a daily basis. So, yeah, I think that makes us really different, like makes the show that Marie and I have different but fun. So mm-hmm. we use a guest. We had Tommy Chung on the show. We've had Trini the Tech Taylor that's talked about drag with us. And we have those. We have an interview with them talking about their life and about counterculture and that topic that's directed towards them that they live in. For example, like drag is a great one. And then in the end of the interview, at the end of the podcast, Marie and I do something we call a sync. So we talk about those catalyst moments throughout the year, the years that have really shed light now into becoming mainstream.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing, looking at the list of episodes you've got, Legally High with Tommy Chong and the drag one with Trinity the Tuck Taylor.
Yeah.
Aliens, astrology.
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite topics. Yeah, ufology.
Biff Naked is a particular favorite.
I'm a ufologist. Pardon?
Biff Naked is a particular favorite around here.
Yeah, I love Biff. She's awesome. Yeah. She's a real gem. Yeah, she does our punk episode with us. Yeah. And it was cool to get a female perspective in the punk, because it's very different, because there wasn't tons of women in the punk. Like, they were growing within the 90s, but she was one of them, especially in Canada, that really pushed it forward for females in punk, but also having the understanding between them, like, punk and pop culture as well, too. Yeah. So,
and she's such a social activist, you know?
She is.
That's just wonderful. Hope to have her on the show one of these days.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. She does so many things, and she also has a new song called Gym Out, too, as well. It's just a really great track.
Okay. I have to get that into our library.
Yeah, I'll send it to you,
Got some big names here. George Strombolopoulos.
Yeah, George Strombolopoulos. Yeah. We talk about the Me Too movement with him. It was interesting to get a male perspective in that as well, too. So we were lucky. Marie and I actually went to Los Angeles to record with George, and he was really great. We recorded at his house, and we actually had a three-hour sit-down with him, just having like a real conversation. And then that section out of the show I decided to choose because it was really strong. It was really interesting coming from somebody that's, you know, I would say iconic in Canadian talk show hosts, and having his perspective on the Me Too and being a female within that and what it means to be a woman now within that in the Me Too mm-hmm. community. So, yeah.
Now, what would you say is under the radar and current counterculture? What's up and coming? What can we expect next year?
Oh, gosh. There's tons of stuff. Like, you have survivalism and preppers that are counterculture that I think because of COVID are becoming mainstream. Bradley Garnett is another one of them. He's been on Joe Rogan, and he has a book about it as well, too. And so he will hopefully be on our show next year. We're trying to talk with him about being on. But I think preppers might, because of COVID and people being prepared for things like this, right? You know, if we're going to have more epidemics happening, then people need to prepare for it. So I think that's going to be something that might happen. Afro sci-fi is becoming a big one right now.
Afro sci-fi?
Afro sci-fi. So having people within the Black community writing sci-fi and it becoming very niche. So I'm learning, I don't know tons about it myself right now. I'm learning more as we go as well, too.
Okay.
I think AI is part of it. You know, futurists. There's a lot of them that are kind of trickling. And I think it's kind of happening every day as well, too.
Yeah.
And there's probably tons of countercultures that are going to come out of COVID as well. And then as they keep growing. So they're always kind of trickling in different places.
Yeah.
It's just finding out what they are and who's kind of the mover and shakers for them. So.
Isn't it partially the case that by its very nature, counterculture isn't going to make itself apparent to you, Alt-Pop Repeat, which is now a mainstream podcast?
Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah, we have to go find them. So that's the other thing. It's, you know, learning. You know, the one thing that Marie and I do on the show is, you know, you have to do research before you do it, because obviously, like, I don't know everything about counterculture. So every single time we do a show, you think you really know something, which is interesting. You think you really know a lot about a topic, and then you realize you don't know anything. You know, you don't know a lot. You know some things, but you don't know how it all really started. So you kind of have to deep dive and do the research beforehand. And then what Marie and I do in the sync is we don't really tell each other what we're going to talk about. We come together with topics. So we'll have like three ideas or four of, you know, where it's in mainstream. It could be in music. It could be literature. It could be film. So we'll pick some high level, you know, topics. And then we start talking about it. So we start bringing up examples to each other. And then we show each other clips. So it's really nice because you kind of have this discovery moments within the show that you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I never thought about that. And you really get to have a conversation. And I'm lucky I get to have it with a good friend, and we get to have fun while we do it. So
it's absolutely the case. You know, if you're tangentially involved in something, then you learn so much new stuff that, you know, didn't even know existed.
And I think that's one of my favorite parts about the show is learning. And learning about other people and other cultures and just other way other people think. You know, just because I think of something doesn't mean that it's right. You know, we start to evolve and realize that, you know, you could start to become even more open-minded when you start to go down these rabbit holes. And then talking to other people, too, about their own experiences as well, too. So there's some fun discoveries in the show, that's for sure.
You've had some recent developments. You've just got yourself a contract with some other podcast distributor. So,
Dash Radio.
Yeah, wouldn't mind talking about that in a couple of minutes. Like to do now is play a little bit more local music. Lara McMillan, about whom I know nothing either, except, again, that Jeff Steger stuck it in our library, and it's darn good music. Let's have a quick listen to Lara McMillan. This is Blade of Grass.
I am just a blade of grass, standing straight, I see her pass. She's unafraid, with wings of lily white. She rides the wind and decorates the light. And she will fall and roots will grow from memories she'll never know. And while I await the punishment of blades, her roots hold fast against all odds, and better taste she'll bloom one day. And on the wind she'll climb, temptation for the sun and all his pretty colors. But I was bred to be conforming in a sea of envious green. I still love butter. The sun, he loves her, as do I. Wakes her in morning, tucks her in tight at night, and still I stand afraid against this bed of pretty colors. But I was bred to be conforming in a sea of envious green. We all love butter.
All love butter. Lara McMillan, and that's Blade of Grass. Hope to hear some more from her. We've got her in the digital library, so I'm sure it'll come up on the rotation again. Got Chrissy Newton from Alt Pop Repeat, the podcast, on the phone. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning, Bob.
We were talking, while the music was playing, we were talking about the pictures that you've got on the website, pictures of you and, is Maria upside down?
Yeah, Maria Nicola, yeah.
Yeah. And you were telling me about getting those pictures taken.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So it was done by an amateur photographer that's a friend of ours. And he just came into our place. I have a condo in Toronto, so we went downstairs and we did a mix mash of things that we felt that represent us as hosts and people, and then represented the show. And then, you know, that started to grow. So, for example, like Marie is, you know, she loves things that are part of, like, you know, like tarot cards, and I'm like a huge ufologist. So both of those are very countercultures in their own where they stemmed from. And so they kind of reflect into that. But as we've been growing and the show has, we've noticed that, you know, we're growing and learning. So the show's developing. So those pictures are still really relevant to who we are as people. But we just took some new ones recently that now will hopefully even represent the show even more. But it's been an interesting ride to actually do photography and capture it into a show as well, too. Right. So, yeah, maybe one day, Marie and I have actually talked about doing a photo shoot where we'll do countercultures from, like, the 60s and that have evolved and actually do clothing and stuff like that. But that's going to take a big setup to do that.
So retro counterculture.
Right, exactly. You know, the hippie movement, even the vegetarian movement, veganism.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's so many that we could shoot and represent, like, from, you know, having, say, for example, one person in the shot wearing something that's, you know, from the hippies, and then looking at to where it is now and somebody wearing clothes that would represent today modern hippies.
Yeah. Whatever happened to bell-bottom pants?
I don't know. They're great. They'll come back. They'll come back again.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, in some other form and fashion. So when I was a kid, I used to wear them. I wore my dad's bell-bottoms when I was really young, and he had, it's so crazy, we're the same size, I guess, apparently, when he was in grade 8 and I was in grade 8, and he had it like a pick in the back pocket. You could still see the pick imprint in it.
Huh.
And they were original bell-bottoms. Yeah, they were pretty cool. I wish I still had those.
Yeah.
So
you said you had an amateur photographer. I want to give him a credit.
John's going to kill me. John's laughing.
Yes.
John's going to kill me. Marie's probably laughing over there listening to this right now, too. but, yeah, he's a photographer in Toronto that has worked with us that took some shots. So.
Right.
And you guys, if they want to go take a look at them, they can go to altpopperpete.com or on Instagram, altpopperpete. So, yeah.
Have to have a look at the Instagram
if everybody's that curious that want to see what these photos look like.
I'll bring up the Instagram stuff for those people watching on YouTube Live.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you said you're on a limited budget. I think that's a
yeah. When you start a podcast, you don't. You know, maybe some people start podcasts with, you know, a lot more money around it. Marie and I really started as a passion project, so it became something, you know, that it's grown now, and we signed to Dash Radio, so you know that will grow on its own. And you know, and luckily enough that Marie is a digital marketer on her full-time job, and, mm-hmm. and I'm a publicist. I work in PR. So between those two jobs, we're lucky enough that we can save a lot of money because we can do our own show and push it and promote it and, you know, talk to people like yourself, Bob, and be able to get people to listen and hopefully like it. So we're lucky we just have a product that people really like right now and are starting to listen to and, you know, and be able to have skills that we can use. So it's cool working on your own project with a friend and being able to put something that you've learned, you know, for years. I've been in PR for 11 years. And so being able to put it behind my own project, and I love working with my clients, but there's a different feeling when you put it behind your own.
Yeah.
And then you get to see it grow too, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. And it's taking off because you got picked up by another distributor.
Yeah, Dash Radio in Los Angeles. So we're part of the Dash Radio team in the States. You can get Dash Radio on an app and at, like, dashradio.com here. Mm-hmm. But it's played, they have 13 million listeners monthly, and it's played all over the States. It's played in cars. It's played within, like, all like online, all different places that they can get it. So we're really lucky that they liked the show off the top, and now we're on their Dash Talk X channel. So we're on every Friday and Saturday. So it would be on our time, Fridays at 3 p.m., and then Saturdays at 9 p.m., in Eastern Standard Time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We would have to get more episodes. I don't see that many episodes on your actual webpage there where you've got only, 8-10 episodes on there right now?
Yeah, we have 8 right now plus a teaser. They take some time to produce, that's for sure, because you have to do the interview and then mm-hmm. we do the sync and then we edit it all together. But it takes some time and to book all the talent and to really, along with doing the research. So So we're going to be growing. Like every month we release a new episode. We have a new one coming out actually on Tuesday, so tomorrow, with Faith Hunter. She's like she's a meditation teacher, and she's a yoga practitioner. And so she'll be talking about yoga as a counterculture with us. But yeah, it's nothing. I wish we could come out with it weekly. It'd be great. And maybe if we have some more money one day, we will.
Yeah.
In the next little bit. But it does take time to do it, that's for sure.
It is time consuming.
It's a very curated type of show.
Yeah, I try to make podcasts of CKMS Community Connections as well. And like you say, it takes an hour or more of research, gathering the material, uploading it, getting it ready, sitting in the studio for an hour to actually do the show, and then another 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, to post-produce it, create the web page surrounding it, you know, all the show notes. It is a time-consuming thing.
Yeah, it's a job on its own, that's for sure.
Yeah, and right now,
but Maureen, I really love it. So.
Oh, yeah. Something about radio, about broadcasting, about just doing this and making information available to people, that's just so heartwarming. You know, it's it makes things worthwhile.
Yeah, and what you're doing, Bob, too, is right, like showing light, you know, on these all different types of artists and people and things that are happening. Like thank you for having, you know, myself on, because we get to talk about stuff like this, and that doesn't always happen, even though it's not mainstream, right? You know, one, it's great that we've had mainstream outlets, you know, pick us up and talk to us, but there is something to say for sure about people that are doing community radio and things like that, because it's actually helping us, and hopefully people like community radio, they like a podcast like ours too. So,
Shall we listen to another one of those new KW artists? And you know, it's just 1:30 the hour here, and can use a little break. So listen to Andy Klein and his song called Europa, coming up from his album, The End of a Perfect Day. Thank you.
you're listening to Andy Kling. A tune called Europa from his album End of a Perfect Day. Andy is a local musician too, and
hope to have him in the studio along with all the other KW musicians in the area. On the phone we have Chrissy Newton. Good morning, Chrissy.
Morning.
We've been talking about the Alt Pop Repeat podcast.
We have.
And podcasts are ideally suited for radio.
Yeah, I guess you could say it. Yeah. You know, I guess you could put them on terrestrial radio. We are on a form of terrestrial radio in Dash Radio, but it is, I think it's talk radio, what I really find that it is. Just a little more uncensored, right, at times.
Yes, yeah. And speaking of uncensored, you've had some interesting things happen on your podcast. Can I have a quick listen? This is Tommy Chong.
Yes.
Okay, listen, I got to go back. Got to go to the bathroom really bad. And because if this was radio, I would just go without you guys knowing it.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, you could go mute and turn off your camera, but then we'd be like, what happened to Tom and where'd he go?
Right.
So we'll let
you can't see what I'm doing now, so I'm going to the bathroom.
This is amazing, Tommy. We're
so that's Tommy Chong. Taking a break, if you will.
He is. I can hear it on my end, the pre-play, but I remember it and I remember being in that moment, that's for sure.
Yes.
It's okay.
And the entire podcast isn't like that, though.
No, gosh, no. That was just a fun part that we decided to clip in. And that really, when we were talking to Tommy Chong, he's a Canadian, which I didn't know really until I looked it up, first of all. And I was like, that's cool. He's from Calgary originally.
Calgary,
and then second of all, I think a lot of people don't realize that Tommy Chong's Canadian because he doesn't really talk about it a lot.
I knew he was Canadian. I thought he was from the West Coast, you know, Vancouver counterculture.
Exactly, yeah. I believe his daughter lives in Vancouver now, he said to us. So I think he goes back and forth a fair amount still. But yeah, it was very Tommy Chong. So I think we got both. We got the Tommy Chong that is, you know, part of Cheech and Chong that was doing that kind of shtick comedy moment that decided to pee, which is real, but I also think that is his comedy coming out. And then we actually talked to Tommy Chong, who is the person Tommy Chong, and talked about his experiences with Operation Pipe Dream that he ended up going to jail for selling cannabis products that related like bongs and things like that, because back then it wasn't legal.
Yeah.
So what that was like, and then now what he thinks about the corporate world and the government selling cannabis legally now, and then obviously him going to jail. And we talked about him spending time with the Wolf of Wall Street and having in a cell with him. It was pretty interesting to see that side of him and talk to him as well, too, and get his perspective on cannabis and where it is now. So.
Yeah. And after the interview, you and Maria take time out to do some analysis.
Yeah, we do, which we call a sync. So it's just a fun keyword, buzzword that we use. And so every time we find a sync, we relate to it. So, yeah, so we talk a little bit about different things that happened within pop culture that started to drive it into mainstream.
Yeah. So you ever listen to the one that you did for Tommy Chong?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Counterculture, alternative culture, subculture. Where does cannabis fit?
100% I would say that it fits in the counterculture spectrum. Why? Because counterculture within the cannabis world really defined a lot of other countercultures as well too. So why do I say that? It defined beatnik culture and the hippie culture and the civil rights movement. It influenced all of it. The jazz movement as well too, and jazz music culture. Cannabis had its little hand in all of them. And so cannabis is 100% with the war on drugs that happened, it was not in the mainstream populace. And that's what counterculture is, right? It's going against the mainstream. So cannabis 100% used to sit in the counterculture world. And now it's in the mainstream world because of people like Tommy Chong, the hippie movement, civil rights, and the beatnik community as well too, and the beatnik culture.
So here's a thing where I agree but it should have never have been a counterculture. That's the thing that I find really, really interesting about cannabis. cannabis was a part of our everyday lives. It had used as medicine from the beginning of time.
Yep.
And that it should have never have been made illegal in the first place. The moment that it was classified as illegal, in particular in the United States, then what ends up happening is people who are using it didn't feel like that wasn't a just law. That is the thing that I find really interesting about it. It was something that was normal and every day. It was taken away from people because of racist policies.
100%.
Like, there's no two ways about it. That it was white individuals who saw both Mexican and Black Americans using this, and then they saw that as being a threat.
Yeah, and that lends into the civil rights movement. I think that cannabis plays a huge part in that. When we look at different sinks, I think if we can start one now, I would 100% say, right, like the jazz community. That's a big one. So many jazz musicians, Louis Armstrong, so many of them, Cat Calloway, all smoked reefers. It is embedded within music, within jazz cultures from like the 1920s and the 30s. And a lot of people didn't like any form of reefer, or they didn't smoke it and it wasn't acceptable. But within the jazz community, it was 100% acceptable.
It was just acceptable. Like, artists have a really interesting relationship with it, and especially the effects that it has on musicians is really interesting because it does slow down time.
Yes.
Slowing down time. That's a good place to take a pause.
Fair enough.
Can do that on a podcast. You know, one of the nice things about having podcasts rather than live radio is that you can consume them at your leisure. You know, broadcast radio, you're sort of constrained to listening to what the producers air, but on a podcast, you can pause, repeat, alt-pop and repeat, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, it's really nice that I think in long form, that's kind of what we are too as well. You know, I wish we could do it for 2 hours, but we only have an hour slot within Dash.
Yeah.
But maybe one day we'll do a longer form of it. That's the best part about podcasts, is that it could be 3 hours, it could be 5 minutes if you really wanted it to be. Yeah. So there's a lot of, and there's creativity that comes out of it too, which is really great. And there's this form of, you know, free speech that goes on as well too, and having ideas and playing back and forth. So I love the medium of podcasting. I never really thought that I would get into it, you know, now, because I work in PR, and I always thought I'd be doing that the rest of my life. But it's something that I get to play in, and it's a really, really great space. I find myself happier because I get to I get to podcast.
Absolutely. True. Yeah, I find that on the radio, too. Yeah. Coming into the studio and doing an hour of community radio programming is a relaxing thing, you know. It's the thing that sort of ties up the entire week, and then it gives me something to look forward to for the next week.
Yeah, I feel that as well too. And while we're recording, there's a lot of laughing that goes on, and you know, the stuff that we don't always include in the show. But there's a lot of stuff that happens, you know, with your friend, and you know, doing something together and enjoying it is just really, really kind of magical in its own way. So even editing too, like Marie and I always make fun of each other when we're editing. Because sometimes, you know, you realize sometimes when you say stuff, you're like, oh my gosh. And you learn a lot about yourself when you're listening to it as well, too, how you pronounce words, even the way you think. Like, it's a very interesting exercise of self-reflection as well when you're listening to yourself. Because obviously most people don't like to hear themselves, but you have to get used to it when you're doing any form of recording.
Doesn't take that long to get used to yourself.
Yeah, well, that's true. After a while, you start to, you know, you do get used to it. But for me, when I first heard, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never really heard myself talk before. So, yeah. So now it changes. And you obviously, you know, you get better and better and better at the craft. You know, I think we've seen a big change from episode one to where we are now, 8 episodes later. So, yeah.
So you're producing monthly at the moment?
We are monthly, yeah. And hopefully one day we'll be bi-monthly or weekly at some point. Yeah. So, you know, as it grows and as our fan base grows and listeners and people supporting the show, is, you know, the more we get to grow too. So the more we get to do it. Yeah.
We're actually launching a Waterloo Region podcasts show this week. Yeah, starting Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. We've got, I think at the moment, 6 locally produced podcasts. Alt Pop Repeat is on that list.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Good news.
So the way that it works is that we pick one or two episodes to fill the hour, sort of randomly by computer algorithm. And it
it picks, you know, whatever happens to be current and plays that. So you're going to get a rotation, you know, amongst the five or six shows that we have on the roster at the moment. We can only play maybe two episodes a week. So it's sort of a shoot, a random thing, whether or not a particular episode gets played in a particular day.
That's awesome, though. That's a great idea. So a lot of people are podcasting now.
Yeah.
Which I think is really great. People might say it's oversaturated, but I don't think so. I think more people need to podcast and have a voice and do things that make them happy.
Yeah.
You know, I think in context, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast that we've got on rotation starting this Friday is Alt Pop Repeat. The Devil's Cut podcast, we've got a Different View podcast with one of our CKMS News journalists. Creative People podcast, which is, I think, produced out of Elmira. I'm not entirely sure, but I saw Ryan Leacock, the host of that, in the Woolwich Observer, the Elmira's newspaper. Podcast right. from one of the universities on Wisdom. And what used to be a former show on CKMS, The Wide World of Motorsports. A nice spectrum of podcasts to put on the air. And if anybody else who's out there producing a podcast in Waterloo Region wants to get included in that lineup, send us an email at office@radiowaterloo.ca. You know, happy to stick you on the list. So I couldn't tell you if your podcast is going to be airing or if it's going to be deferred for another week, but we'll see. The show airs every week, so it's a good thing for multiple monthly podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let us know, because we'll promote it on our end as well, too.
Yeah. Can't really tell. The scheduling software that we use picks the episodes at random an hour before the show airs. So I couldn't tell you today what's going to be airing on Friday.
Well, that means everyone just has to tune in every single day.
Exactly.
Every
exactly.
single Friday.
Yeah.
Just have to tune in just to see, right?
That's exactly. Yeah. Keep it interesting.
That's what you have to do. Exactly. Yeah. And also to support everyone else. It's great that they're doing that.
Yeah.
It's really great. And I post as well, too, because I have a lot of people, you know, friends on Facebook and stuff that live in Kitchener. And they might be podcasting as well that I don't even know about. So
right.
I'm happy to promote that, too.
Since you're only producing once a month, you've probably got some time to find new episodes. How do you get a hold of folks to appear on your podcast?
Yeah, it's chase producing. So I'm lucky enough that I work in PR. So I work on a lot of music publicity and I work with different talent. So being able to understand as a publicist how other publicists want to be spoken to and then how to go and find a contact is something that I've learned over the past 11 years, you know, running vocab. So it's really reaching out to them and creating a really solid pitch. And we're really lucky, too, because people like the content. They get to promote their own work, but they also get to have a conversation with us. And they get to talk about themselves and their past. And it's kind of a form of storytelling. So I find that's attractive. And we're also really lucky now, too, because we have Dash Radio. And Dash Radio has a really, you know, large audience of listeners. So putting all of that combined along with then understanding how to go and chase, you know, in quotations, talent. It's not easy, but we're lucky for that. And they come back and that's how we find them. So it's a lot of researching and finding out who, you know, label managers are or publicists or people like that. And then writing a really strong pitch that why we think they make sense being on the show.
Yeah.
So, and what we'd like them to talk about.
At some point it'll take off to the point where you get approached by people to appear on the podcast.
Yeah, we have a lot of independent publicists coming at us now from different places in New York, things like that, that are hearing the show, or, you know, we're working with them. For example, someone like a Tommy Chung, if they represent a whole bunch of other talent on their roster, then they might say, hey, you know, we have somebody else that might fit a different topic for you. And that's happened as well, too. Lucky that other PR people in the community, you know, I find really great PR people are friends with other PR people, and you can help each other and build with each other that way as well, too. So I've been very fortunate in that way of coming across really great, wonderful, talented publicists within the industry, within North America, that can help us with the show. But their talent is also getting coverage as well, too. So it's kind of a give and take relationship.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So as a publicist, is this just more publicity work that you're really doing? The Alt Pop Repeat podcast is really publicizing counterculture individuals, counterculture ideas, concepts. It's publicity all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And there's also something to this that I find, you know, there's different things. Like, you have a goal in life and then you kind of have a mission. So, you know, I think in general, you know, and if I speak with Marie for this as well, too, is, you know, teaching people that we might not always believe in the same things, you know, for example, counterculture, but we can find a common understanding and it will turn into maybe, you know, someone's idea might turn into something mainstream. So understanding that we might be using different lexicons, we might be using different phrases or different words, but we all sometimes are saying the same things in the end. We're just not doing it the same way. And so I think kind of as a mission is to show people how similar people are. And then also to, you know, not going to use the word educate, but to kind of inform a little bit about where things started from. And hopefully that opens people's minds to look at things and look at other ideas and other concepts and be open-minded to say, hey, just because I don't understand this doesn't mean that I won't like it or agree with it. And that's really where that show is, I think, is part of a mission with it as well, too, along with, yeah, publicizing different countercultures and different people within the community. So
isn't there the danger that as you publicize these ideas in counterculture, that you're contributing to them becoming mainstream?
That's true. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong, I think, that mainstream, I think, can be, you know, might be, some people might not like it, obviously, yeah. And that's okay.
The phrase,
but for us, pardon?
The phrase selling out springs to mind.
Right. Well, and punk for sure is part of that. So if people want to say we're selling out, you know, our show is both pop culture and counterculture. So we're not just one thing. We really are both. So it's interesting when we're marketing towards people that are within the counterculture, for example, cannabis or, you know, drag and punk. But, for example, drag is really mainstream right now. So I would say it's more pop culture now than it would be a counterculture, but it started as a counterculture. So we're in this little, you know, spot that, and I would call it like a little bit of a sweet spot that shows that we're both, and we're really just shedding light on both of them. You know, and the funny thing is that on our day-to-day lives, Maria and I work in pop culture, you know, a digital marketer, and I'm a publicist. But when I'm not working, the things you can find me watching are stuff about ufology and a whole bunch of counterculture stuff. So I'm consuming that on a general basis just because it's something I love. So I find that if you're pigeon-toeing somebody into being both, it's not letting them grow and develop, because people should be able to love whatever they want to learn and not have to be put into a box of one or the other, I think.
Right.
So, yeah.
Does it ever go the other way around? Does it ever go from being pop culture to becoming counterculture or going back underground?
That's a great question. Not that I've seen, but that's a great, great perspective. Not that we've seen yet, and one day we'll probably talk to that, because okay. It probably will. There will be times that something that was mainstream will not be mainstream anymore and will probably start to trickle as counterculture again. You know, I think those things do happen. They repeat themselves. You know, that's what alt pop kind of stands for. You know, alternative pop, and then it repeats, right?
Yeah,
it goes from alt pop to repeat again, and it just keeps going in a circle.
Yeah.
So it's bound to happen if it isn't already happening. Yeah. So.
Wide ties are popular one year and skinny ties the next, and goes back to wide ties again.
Totally. So, well, kind of punk is right now, I would say, is, you know, is back to kind of a counterculture, because you don't see punk. You see punk things and people doing punk things, but they're not really referenced as punk. Like Banksy is very, very punk, but no one ever calls him that or uses that term.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about
it. Yeah, right. And you know, because we're not, I guess it is a form of classification, but punk's really, like, there's tons of punk bands that I see all the time. Rock music also, too, you know, is really starting to become underground. You know, when you look at things that, like, bands, large bands together, rock bands, it's not really happening anymore. So I would start to say that started as a counterculture, but it's not as popular in the form of, you know, Aerosmith and things like that.
Right.
That kind of culture is starting to, and I hate to say it, it's starting to die, but you have people within the rock community that are teaching and mentoring other kids. You know, a friend of mine from the Lazies, Leon Harrison, he is a prime example of it, where he's mentoring all of these, you know, young people in bands because he loves it. And he also wants to be able to keep the art form going because he knows that it's losing its momentum right now. And he doesn't want to see that. And as someone who is extremely experienced as a lead man and super talented as a writer, has these abilities to educate these younger, you know, generations and hopefully not have that art form die. So, you know, kudos, shout out to Leon Harrison for that one.
Yeah. And Alt-Pop Repeat is on its way to, has a mission of making that happen, you know, not letting the counterculture die, not letting the popular culture die.
Yeah. And I think we can play in both fields. Why not? Why can't we play? And why aren't we able to do that? You know, we just don't have to like one or the other. And I think the other part, too, is we hear people listening and they go to us, oh, like, I never knew that that was something that I never knew this about drag, or I never knew this about cannabis. And to me, that's really exciting when we get to help, you know, teach somebody or, you know, have them learn something new and then a different understanding of that counterculture and also where it came to pop culture. So trust me, there's tons of stuff. Like, I'm reading about MMA right now, and I never knew much about MMA, but I'm learning a lot about the mixed martial art and how it started as a counterculture. So every day I'm learning something new when I'm reading about it.
Is that going to be an episode?
It will be, yeah. Yeah, oh, it will be cool, an episode. Cool. That's going to come out this year as well, too.
Okay.
So, yeah. But right now the next one is yoga. So.
Okay. Yeah. How do people get a hold of you? People are interested in listening to the podcast, interested in contributing something to the podcast.
For sure, yeah. They can go to Patreon if you want to donate. We would love that. But you can go to altpoprepeat.com. And then you can also go to Instagram at altpoprepeat.com as well, too. Or you can find myself on Instagram. I'm at the Spocab. Or you can find Marie, too, and she's at Karma Cake. So tons of ways to find us. Yeah.
Okay. So looking at the Alt Pop Repeat webpage, there's links to all the different locations right on the webpage itself.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. And then we're in, like, every single streaming platform as well, too. So all I should spell it. It's A-L-T-P-O-P and then the word repeat.
REPEAT.com.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we'll have links in our show notes as well, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC. And we'll have links to the podcast, links to the various social media accounts, and maybe even a link to an episode or two so you can get a preview of what Alt Pop Repeat is all about.
That would be great. Thanks,
Bob. Chrissy Newton, it's been great talking to you.
You as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for so much airtime. It's amazing.
That's what the show is all about. You know, it's community radio, and we're here to provide that for the community. Got another community artist, Chelsea Danfield, who we had on the show last week as well. And I think we're going to let Chelsea take us out to the top of the hour. And then on Friday, maybe we'll hear Alt Pop Repeat on our WR Podcast show.
I hope so.
Yeah. Chrissy Newton, thanks again. And if you're back in the KW area at some point, you know, come into the studio, say hi, you know, sit across from me, talk into a microphone, and get that studio experience.
I would love that, 100%. I would really like that.
We've been talking to Chrissy Newton from the Alt Pop Repeat podcast, and it's been an exciting hour. Thank you, Chrissy. We're going to let Chelsea Danfield take us to the top of the hour. Just call me up, you know right where I'm at. I'll be at the bar, but know that once you got him, there ain't no way in hell that I'm taking him back. No, no, honey, he's all yours, that's fine. He's gonna drive you to dream. Keep asking me just how I feel, hell, that's exactly what I think. You're pushing me right off the edge, through one more in the loony bin. My God, you're gonna drive me to dream. You're gonna drive me to dream. Keep asking me just how I feel, and that's exactly what I think. You're pushing me right off the edge, for one more in the loony bin. My God, you're gonna drive me to drink. My God, who's gonna drive you to drink?
You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Johnson. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producers are Jordan Dorans, Jeff Stager, and Dylan Bravener. And you can hear it again Saturday at noon.